Good morning.
Good morning.
Ivy is taking a break today, so no call to worship, so I'm doing the welcoming. Welcome to Piedmont Fellowship Church on this second Sunday in August. It's also our ninth Sunday in Pentecost. It is good to be here to worship together and also online. Thanks for joining. And God has given us one more day to live in this world to be a blessing here, so let us be thankful when we go to God to worship together. The announcements are on the second page in the bulletins. Those are the regular announcements. You can follow with that. The food bank ministry continues, and the book, let us donate in cash or in kind for the ministry. And also, the third Thursday luncheon will be on August 21st at 1 p.m. at the Golden Corral. Please join that for a time of fellowship and lunch together at 1 o'clock. Thank you for your continued and faithful support in the ministries of this church. As I have told you, we have some extra expenses with insurance, and also we have to replace that chain gate. So please keep that in your prayers and continue to donate as much as you can. I will give you an update when we get the insurance policy. I'm working with Lisa to see if we can get anything better. It's good to have some insurance people here to guide us. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us continue to do the work that God has given us in this community faithfully to reach out to the people who are in need. And also, I want to recognize Bertha here today. She's visiting us, even though she has been a long-time person here before. She said she was here when we were little, years ago. So some of you might know her. So please stop by and welcome Bertha. And thanks for being here with us, Bertha. I look forward to see you more. Those are the announcements that I have. Are there any other announcements? If not, let us worship the Lord together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 400, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Please be seated. Almighty God and God of all eternity, thank you for this time that you have given us as human beings to come before you, the everlasting God, to worship you, who you are praised by the angels in heaven and the saints around the world. And we thank you for this time that you have given us sinners, even though you came to us to save from our sins, that redeemed by your blood, so that we can call you Father and worship you together here today. We marvel at your majesty and power, O God, and we are astonished by the mystery of your love. Even when we are unfaithful, you still love us, O God. Thank you for your protection and care, and indeed, for all the good gifts that we receive from you every morning. We thank you for your grace and compassion that you show us every day. Above all, we thank you for your gift of eternal life that you gave us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you open the way of eternal life to every race and nation, and also send your Spirit to be with us every day. We thank you again for this time. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit with all the saints in this world and angels in heaven. We adore you. We worship you. May the words and the services we do here today, our singing and the prayers, and the meditation of the word will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's our fellowship time now. If you are able, please stand up and greet each other in Christian love. Congregational hymn today is Shall We Gather at the River, 723 in the Blue Book. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 4. You can stay reminding. Stand for the responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 146, verses 1 through 10. It's on page 858. If you are able, please stand.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I was with you.
Put not your trust into princes, in mortals in whom there is no help.
Their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day their plans perish.
Happy are those whose help is in the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord their God,
who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all is in them.
Who keeps faith forever, who exercises justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the soldiers.
And upholds the widow and the orphan. But the Lord breaks the way of the wicked to
The Lord will regain forever your God, O Zion, from generation to generation.
Praise the Lord.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We'll bring our prayers of praises and also prayers of concerns at this time and lift them up to the throne of grace of God. We'll share our prayers of blessings and give thanks to God and also share our concerns and burdens together and also intercede for others. That is a privilege that God gives to his children to pray for other people's needs. So let us use this opportunity at this time to share our prayers of burdens and intercede for others. The prayer requests are at the back of the bulletin in the boxes listed there. Please continue to pray for these people and these items listed in those boxes. I just talked to Wayne. Wayne is doing much better, and my wife and I visited and spent some time with him during the week. We had dinner together, and he's walking with his new knee, so that is a good sign. And he said he doesn't have any pain anymore. He and Carol are doing okay. Carol's situation is the problem now that he has to take care of more, so he's looking into some options. But I'm glad to see both of them are healthy, doing good, and cracking a lot of jokes, so they're in good spirits. I just texted him this morning also. He said he's doing much better. So keep Wayne and Carol in our prayers, and thank you for your prayers for his healing, and also Carol. Pray for Jean McBrayer, Grace Ains, Harry Bezor, Carol and Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Crumlin, and also pray for the Johnson family and Thomas family as they are grieving at the death of their dear ones. Pray for Ed and Bertha Lowe. Are they doing better?
They're doing better. Now her sister and her husband are also in the hospital now, so it's Tony and Maria Lau as well.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Rhea?
This is what happens when you get up there.
Yeah, exactly. You have more you have more people to pray for. That's why we have a time called retirement.
Yes.
So we have more time to pray.
Yes.
You pray a lot?
Yeah. Every day, all day.
That's what I think. Okay. Thanks be to God for all the seasons of our life. God is good. Even where we are younger and we are even older, still He is good. All the time. So please pray for Tony and Rhea Love also, along with Ed and Berta. And pray for service workers, our military, fire, police, and all the people who work behind the scenes to make our life comfortable every day. So keep them in our prayers and also thank God for their services. And pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that they will make good decisions guided by God's wisdom. And also pray for peace in the Middle East and around the world. Pray for the world leaders also. Some of them are meeting this coming week, that it will be productive and so that they can come up with some solutions to the problems that we are facing around the world. Pray for our church, that God will continue to help us move forward to the future to do his ministry in this community faithfully with all the opportunities that God has given us to do, so that God will open the right doors at the right time. Also pray for all the churches around this area, in coming and around, pastors and ministers and many, many others who are working. And also remember the church at large around the world, and the missionaries and workers and many others who are working in many parts of the world in our prayers. So those are the regular requests that I have. Please use this as a reminder for your prayers every day. So please keep this bulletin as your prayer list. Any other prayer requests, any calls for prayers or praises? If not, let us go to God in prayer. We'll have a moment of silent prayer, and then I'll close with a summarized prayer after that. Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who will seek will find it. And those who knock will have the door opened for them. And those who are asking for anything in their lives will receive according to God's will." Gracious and loving God, we come before you as your children with our prayers of praises and prayers of concerns. Thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. Bless us with your grace, Lord, as we continue our lives in this world. Thank you for the good health and strength in our bodies, the physical, material, and spiritual blessings that we enjoy in our lives are from you and you alone. And we thank you for that. Even when we don't deserve them, you continue to shower them upon us, O God. We come before you with our burdens and concerns also. We need healing in our bodies. Many of our dear ones are going through sicknesses that we are praying for. We thank you for the recovery and the progress of Wayne. Continue to be with him and strengthen him in his knee. As he's walking around, bless him with your grace and comfort him with your peace. Pray for Carol also. Bless her also with your guidance every day. Bless them as they look forward to some arrangements for her. Bless them as a family with your peace and comforting presence. We pray for those who are struggling with health issues again. We pray for Tony and Ria Lowe that we share, Yolanda shared here today. Bless them with your healing. Touch them, Lord, with your healing hand. Above all, we pray for peace in their family, and also we lift Ed and Bertha Law also as they are looking for healing, and thank you for the progress that you've given them in their healing now. We pray for Jean McBrayer and Grace Haynes, Harry Bezor, Jerry Raines, Sean and Amy Conway, Harry Kremlin. They all are in various situations in their life with their seeking for bodily healing. Pray that you will strengthen them. Heal them according to your grace at your time. Above all, we pray for your peace for them and their families. We pray for those who are grieving at the death of their dear ones. We pray for the Johnson family, the Thomas family. Bless them with your grace and peace. We pray for your presence to be there with them in their homes, in their places where they are. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police, and grocery clerks, and delivery people, and trash workers, and many, many others who serve us every day. We thank you for their services, and we pray for them and for their safety of their families. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress, and many others who make decisions, that they will have the wisdom from God, and they will fear God when they make decisions that will bring unity in this country and also prosperity to the nation. We pray for the world leaders also, that they will bring peace when they make decisions, peace to this world. We pray for our church, and we thank you for this community that you have given us to do your ministry. Help us to be faithful in all the things that we do here to serve others. Bless us in the future, O God, as we look for your guidance. Help us with all the things that we are looking for. Pray for all the churches in this community, the pastors and the leaders and the ministers who are ministering in various different ways. Bless them, Lord, and we pray for all the churches around the world and the missionaries who are working in many parts of the world, spreading your gospel and the love of Christ to others. Bless them and strengthen them, the power of your Holy Spirit, that a lot of people hear your word will be drawn to your kingdom because of their work. Be with us today, O God. Help us to worship you in truth and in spirit, Lord. Help us, Lord, to meditate on your word so that we can fill our hearts and our lives with the word, and empower us with your power of the Holy Spirit, that this will be a blessing for us to live out our life in this world to spread your kingdom. Be with us today in our meditation of the word and the prayers we make. Honor, bring honor to you and glory to your name. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come and take up the offertory, please. Thank you.
for the doxology. Thank you for your continued blessings in our lives, and we pray that you bless this offering and multiply it for your good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading, which comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word that you gave us for our life and our spirit. As we come before your word, O God, open our hearts to receive your word with humility and obedience. Illumine our souls, O God, so that we can understand the meaning of the message that we hear today. As we come before you, Lord, help us, Lord, to always obey your word and receive it in our hearts so that we can live out the word in our lives every day. And we leave from this place. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This is the last chapter of Colossians, chapter 4, that we read a passage from here today. That is a portion of that chapter 4. There are only four chapters in this book that we have been studying for the last few weeks. And this was, as you know, a letter written to a church in Colossae that he has never met these people, but he is writing this from prison in Rome, waiting for his sentencing for spreading the gospel. Paul is writing this letter. And he sent this letter with a person by name Tychicus that we read there at the last. I'm sending him to you the express purpose. He's talking about a brother whose name is Tychicus, which will tell you all the news about me. So that's the person he's sending this letter with. And along with this letter, he wrote another letter that we will meditate on next week. Is the letter of Philemon. Letter to Philemon. That's only one chapter in that book. So if ever somebody, any pastor will tell you to go read the chapter 3 of Philemon, be careful. You know what happened to some people, right? There's a homework assignment that the pastor gave because he wanted to test the people if they're actually reading the Bible or not. He told them to go read chapter 3 of Philemon. And the next Sunday came, and how many people read it? Oh, there were so many hands up there. No, just kidding. Don't fall into that. It's only one chapter in Philemon. And it's a very short book. So he read that, he wrote this letter also to Philemon, who is a person, a member in the church in Colossae. So that's why he sent the letter along with this letter to the church and also this particular person in Colossae. He's a businessman in Colossae church. What happened was Philemon had a servant or a slave or an employee, basically, who worked for him called Onesimus. That's what we see there. I am sending, you know, Tychicus, and also verse 9 says he's coming with Onesimus. Onesimus was actually a servant or an employee or a slave at that time to Philemon, who is a businessman in the church of Colossae. What happened was Onesimus was a little tricky, so he stole some money and ran away. And then he was in hiding, finally showed up in Rome. And some people say that he got arrested in Rome for something else and finally ended up in prison where Paul was. Or somehow Onesimus found and met with Paul while he was in prison. And Onesimus explained to him what happened. And Paul preached the love of Christ to him, and also he was converted and he repented and he became a Christian through Paul's ministry in prison. So you can be in prison and be still a preacher.
Amen.
You don't have to be in a church. It's very easy to preach in a church, but it's very hard to preach in a prison. So that is Paul was doing. So whatever your circumstances is, Paul is telling the church in Colossae that you have to use the best of your opportunity wherever you are. So he is sending Onesimus with Tychicus to Colossae with two letters. One for the church that we just studied, four chapters, and one for Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Onesimus taking this letter from Paul, and Paul and Philemon apparently had some friendship through somebody. We don't know the exact nature. So Paul is using that influence to forgive Onesimus and asking Philemon if you want to take him back. He's a good man now. He accepted Christ. So take him back as a fellow brother, not as a servant. He's willing to work for you again. So he's sending a letter of apology for Onesimus, sending him also with Tychicus with two letters. So we will study the letter of Philemon next Sunday, if God wills, and then we'll exactly see what exactly the letter is and what it means to us today. So that's the whole picture of this background of this letter. This was the book was written in, the letter was written in sometime in 60 or 62 AD. That's the time frame when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, according to history. The fourth chapter that we come there, I told you, chapter 1 and 2 are doctrines that we talked about, and chapters 3 and 4 are practical ways of how people live out their lives. When we come to the end of chapter 3, Paul is talking to a family. He's talking to the fathers. He's talking to the children. He's talking to husbands. He's talking to wives. How you have to live together in a family. So if you want to read those things, it's very interesting. I didn't want to preach on it because I have to preach to myself first before I talk to them. Because you have to be a good father. You have to be a good husband. How do you want to become that? Because it's very interesting. I mean, it's, go and read it if you could. And take heart on what the things that Paul is telling you. How to be a good father as a Christian. How to be a good child as a Christian for fathers. Honor your father and mother. He says that in there. And obey your parents in the Lord. He adds that clause to the back of the sentence. Obey your parents. He didn't put a full stop there. He said, obey your parents in the Lord. Because not all parents can be in the Lord. So very carefully read those things. So I just skipped all of that because I need a lot of lesson from that first. And then we come to the chapter 4 where he talks about the witness of the church. The purpose of the church in this world. What is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church, according to Paul, is to glorify God in this world. Purpose of the church, above all, we do a lot of things as church. You know, we gather here, we worship together, we have dinner together, we have outreach ministries, we have garage sales, all kinds of stuff that we try to do to reach out to people. Through all of these activities that do, they all matter, but if all of these things are combined together, the only one purpose that we have to do as a church with all these things is to glorify God's name. And how do we glorify God's name? the church glorifies God in several different ways. So if we read it, as we read here today, first thing he's talking about in chapter, verse 2 is devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The foundational basis of a church should be prayer and prayer only. If a church is not built on prayer, the church is not going to stay. We need to pray every day on our knees for our church. Amen. We pray about ourselves and our needs every day. And we pray for our neighbors and our brothers and our relatives. How much time do we spend praying for our church? So he's telling that to the church in Colossae, that the number one thing as a church to glorify God in this world, have you to spend your time watchful and thankful and being in prayer. And one thing that Billy Graham always used to say, that before he started any crusade, and he had, you know, how big crusades were there. Before, about 6 months ahead of time, they start a prayer group there in many parts of the world, praying for that one particular event that is going to happen for almost 6 months or more. And then he would never go and preach to a prayer without spending time on his knees, because that is where his preaching comes from. Preaching is a result of prayer. We can do a lot of things and we can preach a lot of things, but if it is not backed up by prayer, it's not going to be effective. And one time I read a story that he sent a letter to the mayor of a city and saying that we started praying for the crusade that is coming up in your city. Can you send me some specific needs your city has? And you know what the mayor sent him? He sent him a whole telephone book. He needs a lot of prayer in that city. That's what the need is. The need is so much.
Amen.
And the church is here to meet the needs of the people and not for just ourselves. It is good to be here, right? Mm-hmm. But there's a whole people around us this church has to minister to. That is what God placed us here. And God gave this land, I don't know, 100, 120 years ago, somebody donated this land with one purpose, and only one purpose, to be used for God's glory. And that is what our mission is today, even after a century after that. Generations after generations. We are placed here today in this time of history to glorify God's name in coming. That's all we need to do. Our purpose is to glorify God in all the things that we do here. So then comes the witnessing part. We share with all the opportunity that we get to share God's love to others through our actions, to our words, and through our deeds. We have to share God's love to others. And using every opportunity, that's what he's saying, and pray for us that God may open the door of message. Pray that I may proclaim clearly the good news. Then he says in verse 5 that be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. So we not only have to be prayerful, but we also have to be wise, and also using most of every opportunity. In another version of the English version, it says redeem time, making the most of every opportunity. What do we mean by redeeming time? We know how to redeem coupons when we go to grocery stores, right? You know that. We can save money. We know how to redeem points in our credit cards. And the good and bad things is you save money by using those points and coupons. But if you don't use it on a certain date, what happens? It expires. It's a little date at the bottom. Every opportunity that God gives us in this world has an expiry date. You and I have an expiry date, believe it or not.
Amen.
It's written somewhere here, I don't know. Can you read it? We are going to expire.
Amen.
We all have a written date of expiry, but we don't know that date. But God knows that date. So we are given one day at a time as a redeeming point for coupons. I don't know, 84,000 minutes or something, 24 hours a day. So God deposits 24 hours for you in the morning and say, you have it, take it. And then you redeem it. According to Paul's writing, you redeem those points. How do you redeem it? You redeem it. You redeem coupons by buying groceries and stuff for you. But you redeem your time that God has given by serving others. Every moment in this world, we redeem by serving others in this world. That is how we glorify Christ through our church and church activities. You remember the story of Ashley Smith. I don't know if that name may not sound right, but sound familiar. But you might remember the instance one time there was a murder suspect that police was chasing. He ended up in an apartment in North Cross. It was somewhere in 2005. And this lady was in the, and she opened the door without knowing who it was, and he just got in. And then she didn't know what to do. He had a gun with him. But he didn't shoot her. She actually welcomed him and talked to him. And then she cooked dinner for him and started talking to him and talking down. And he told her exactly he was running from police and he was trying to hide here. Don't call the police or anything. She didn't call the police or anything. Then she started sharing her testimony to this guy. I mean, can you imagine? I would be scared to my death. I would not even be able to speak with a guy like that coming and telling me, I'm running away from police for murder and a gun in his hand. I would be scared to death. But this woman talked to him about her testimony of how Jesus changed her life. This happened. I mean, it was on TV, if you all remember that, Ashley Smith, in 2005. And then she took advantage of the opportunity of witnessing to this person. And then she cooked him dinner and gave him a good place to rest. And then he slept there. And then in the morning, they both woke up and she cooked breakfast for him. And then he started telling him that this is not how God wanted him to be. Then there's a book that she was reading called Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Many of you probably know that. It's a very, very well-known book. And she was reading during this time, and she actually read many chapters of that book to this guy. God was working through all these things. And then finally she convinced him to call the police. And he did. And the police came and arrested him in his apartment. It happened in North Cross. We were living in North Cross at that time, so it was very close to us. We were living in Lilburn. So this is how we glorify God, not only in a situation, but also redeeming the time, making the use of every opportunity. I would never imagine that this would be an opportunity to share God's love to somebody like this. But God puts you in situations like that for a purpose, to share God's love to others. That is how you glorify God. Through all of these things that this woman did, using the right opportunity at the right time to share God's love to him and also show her compassion by serving him dinner and breakfast, spending time with him and praying for him. What a blessedness that is as children of God. I'm not saying that you all have to go through these kind of situations. It's not a good situation to be in. But whatever situations that we have in our lives, everybody that we meet, in our grocery stores, in our post office, in our daily walk of life and business, or whoever knocks at the door, they all need Jesus one way or other. And as a church of Christ, we ought to be ready to share that at the right moment. That is what redeeming time, using every opportunity, not only persevering in prayer, but also redeeming time. And he also says about wise living. You have to use your wisdom. That's what this Ashley Smith did. She probably was scared. She said she was scared. But she knew that there is more purpose to that. So she used the time wisely and shared the love of Christ with him and made use of that most of the time and the opportunity that God gave her. God often presents us with opportunities to witness, but we often let them slip by because we are not wise enough to see them for what they are. Every opportunity comes with an expiry date. Once that expiry date or once that opportunity is gone, you probably would never get it back. So that is what Paul is reminding them. Use your time wisely. And also talk to others wisely. And we need to remember that each new day brings opportunities and express our faith to others. Believers should use their time effectively by being consistent in our lives and in our actions, and also maximize every moment, and also make the most of our interactions with others. And I don't know if I shared my story about, you probably know the Spanish girl who used to come to our church one time with us, JC. We went to a prayer meeting together. I was with another church in Norcross, John Wesley United Methodist Church, and I was a Sunday school teacher there. So while I was walking to the church one morning, this was about 25 years ago, this Latino girl was standing there like this in front of the church with a Bible in her hand. And she didn't speak a word of English. And I was just walking by and I said, she's not familiar to me, so I said, can I help you? And in just broken English, she told me, I'm here to learn English. And she had an English Bible with her. I said, can you read the Bible? No, I don't have any idea. I need to learn English to live here. So what can you do? I said, I know how to teach Sunday school, but I don't know how to teach English because I need to learn English first. So I told her, what I can do is I can take you to the Sunday school if you want to go with me. And lo and behold, the Sunday school class that I was teaching was an older Sunday school people, I mean, like older people. And she was very young. And I didn't know if it is a good fit or not, so I took her, if you don't mind, come and sit with me. And she came there. And the whole people, even though she was very young, and she was the only young person, and maybe my wife,
were you there?
You were not there. That was mostly a men's Sunday school, I think. But she just sat there. And she started coming back and back again and again every Sunday. And then, now, she has been a good friend of ours for years now, for 25 years now. She learned her language. She went to some business school here. She's an accountant and a senior accountant now with a big company. She bought her own house and car. I mean, look at her life that has changed. I could have easily walked by that lady at that time, ignoring her, because I knew I could not talk to her. She didn't know English. But God worked all that circumstances through us, that she was brought to a particular place, that she felt welcome more than anything else.
Yes.
That's what the important thing is. Not about teaching language. All of those things will come. And all of those things, God will bring it together. But making somebody feel welcome and loved is the most important thing that we can glorify God about. That is what the purpose of the church is, to glorify God through our gracious speech and gracious actions. And season our conversations with salt. That's what he says. Season our conversations with salt. Believers should make their conversations more appetizing and flavorful. That's what it means when he says that. And not only that, using the opportunity, if you remember the story that I shared with you years ago, I don't know, this church or another church, there was a little girl, just like my experience with JC, there was a little girl who was in a parking lot of a church on one Sunday morning. She was only like 10 or 11. And she was there, and the pastor was walking by, just like my story. And the pastor was walking by. But he noticed this little girl in the door, and he asked her why she was there. She was not Latino. She was a white young girl. But she was from a poor family. She was looking for some friends that she can have in the church. So she went to a Sunday school looking for friends, and the church was a very small church and there had a lot of kids in the church. And they sent her from one class to the other because none of the classes had any spaces left. So finally, she didn't have a place to go. She was standing at the door. So the pastor came by and she said, this is what happened. I didn't have a place to sit I need some friends that I can talk to. I am from this family that lives across the street. I don't have any brothers or sisters. So the pastor took her back again to one of the Sunday school classes and found a place for him and told them to keep her. And she stayed there and she started having some friends and she started coming to Sunday school, not her parents. And she started a student in one of the Sunday school class, and they welcomed her with all their hearts. And after about a few, 2 or 3 years, the pastor got a call that the girl suddenly died. and she was after about 2 years. And the pastor was being called because the parents knew that she had a good relationship with this church and this pastor. So they wanted her, him to go and take care of the funeral arrangements. They didn't have money or anything. So the pastor went there to make the funeral arrangements. And the poor little body was moved, and the pastor noticed a little purse under while they were moving the body. And the funeral home person gave that pastor that purse and said, "This is, you can keep it and share with the parents." And he, when he opened that purse, a little purse, there were 57 cents in that purse. And there was a little note scribbled in childish handwriting that says, "This is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." That's what the little note says. "This money is to help build the little church bigger so more children can go to Sunday school." Apparently she was saving some money for this church. That's what the pastor found out. So what that challenged that pastor, and he took that note and took that purse, and he said he knew exactly what he was going to do. The next Sunday, while he was on the pulpit, he shared the story and showed this purse and read this note to the church. And the church was running out of space. So when he read this, there was no reaction from the church, but there was a news reporter from a newspaper who was attending that church that day. He published that news in the local newspaper, and a lot of people started reading it. And they were looking for a bigger church, to build a bigger church. A realtor called, by reading the newspaper, a realtor called the pastor and said, "Hey, I have a land that I can donate to you, or I can sell you." Actually, that's what he told him. "I can sell you if you want to build a church there." And then the pastor said, well, he knew that church, that land was expensive and the church could not afford to buy it. So the realtor finally told him, "I will sell it to you for 57 cents. And that's how a corner in Philadelphia got this big temple church. And they didn't have the money to build a church, but this news started spreading to other cities and other newspapers. And they started getting money from far and wide. And finally they collected over $300,000. This was like 50 years ago. Church members donated, others donated, strangers donated. And finally they were able to build a bigger church. And they were able to move in there. So when you are in the city of Philadelphia, go take a look at the Temple Baptist Church, where over 5,000 people worship together now. And close to 10,000 children attend Sunday school. And also there is a Temple University. That's where my wife went to school while she was living in Philadelphia. Temple University. I don't know how many students attend. When we lived in Philadelphia, it was about 3,000. Probably more than that now. And also there's a Good Samaritan Hospital that the church started. It's a big hospital there. This is all because of that little child who started with a small vision of 57 cents that the church started acting on and praying on. And then in one of the rooms of the Sunday schools there, there is the picture of that little girl that framed there. And also that loving pastor, Dr. Russell Cornwell, his picture is also framed in one of the Sunday school rooms there. And he is also wrote a book on this. If you want to read that book, this story is written there in that book called Acre of Diamonds. You can search for it. And it's a good book to read about how the church should be glorifying God in the opportunities that we can get. We may not be a big church. We may not have a lot of money. We may not have all the other amenities that the big churches have, but we have one thing that God has given us, His love that we can spread. That's all we have. What else do we need? He loves us so that we can tell others that God loves them too. That is the ministry of the church in this community. as we go from this place, may we be challenged by the Spirit today, that we act upon all of our opportunities that we get in whatever ways, not only just money, but our time and our talents and our witness to others, so that we can glorify God in any way possible that God gives us. May the good Lord bless us with these words as we go from this place. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 545 in the blue book. If you are able, please stand. The Church is One Foundation, verses 1, 2, 4, and 5.
The Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord.
People of God, know that God has given us this life as a gift. Every day is 24 hours given us to redeem in this world, to show His love and care and compassion to others who are in need. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.